World Sport from the BBC with me, Steve Crossman. Coming up, Barcelona will be investigated for alleged tax fraud after a Spanish judge decided there was enough evidence to look into the case. Tottenham Hotspur boss Tim Sherwood criticises the playing surface in Ukraine after Europa League defeat to Dnipropetrovsk.
They play very well. I think the pitch is a disgrace. You know, I think it shouldn't. It's no excuse because both teams have to play on it, but it's possibly the worst pitch I've ever experienced.
And Ukrainian Olympic Committee President Sergei Bobka says he respects the decision of athletes who've decided to return from the Winter Olympics in Sochi because of the troubles in their homeland. But first, the judge in Spain has said there is sufficient evidence to formally investigate Barcelona for alleged tax fraud. That's over the signing of the Brazilian star Neymar. It means representatives of the club could be summoned to court to be questioned over the allegations. They've not been formally charged and deny any wrongdoing. Ernest Mathia from Radio Catalunya has more.
They said that they've been fully compliant with the existing law, that they would be sending probably legal representatives to court in the coming weeks, because the process, as I said, will be long. And it does not mean that the club is guilty. It means that they have to defend themselves against the justice. The next step will be in the next probably weeks, if not days. Some representatives of Barcelona will have to go on court trying to present reliable numbers, reliable contracts in order to justify that there's no tax fraud.
Manuel Pellegrini's post-match comments after Manchester City's defeat to Barcelona in the Champions League on Tuesday will be investigated by UEFA. The Chilean accused Swedish referee Jonas Eriksson of not being impartial during the 2-0 defeat after he awarded the Spanish side a penalty and sent off Martin Demichelis. European football's governing body say that a disciplinary inspector has been appointed to assess Pellegrini's remarks. In the Europa League, Valencia's substitutes made the difference with two late goals to earn a 2-0 victory in the away leg of their last 32 tie with Dinamo Kiev. Eduardo Vargas and Sofyan Feghouli, both second-half replacements, scored in the 80th and 90th minute to put the Spanish side in charge of the tie. The first leg was moved to Cyprus because of the ongoing clashes in the Ukrainian capital. Fiorentina also established a commanding first-leg lead thanks to a 3-1 success at Esbjerg. Another Italian side, Juventus, won their home leg against Trabzonspor 2-0. Yevhen Konoplyanka's 81st-minute penalty earned Dnipropetrovsk a 1-0 win over Tottenham Hotspur in Ukraine. Spurs did have their chances. Striker Roberto Soldado missed from close range when it seemed easier to score. But manager Tim Sherwood believes at least part of that was down to the playing surface.
I'm not sure he'd be too complimentary about the pitch after that. I mean, he might have an excuse for it, but obviously I'm not using it as an excuse, because not for the chance, but for the actual result, because both teams have to play on it. But I'm sure that must have played some part in Robbie missing that one.
The other English Premier League team in action, Swansea City, drew 0-0 with Rafael Benitez's Napoli. The BBC's Simon Davis was there.
Rafa Benitez will be a relieved man because Swansea should be ahead in this tie. They'll rue their missed chances. Boney, when he was through on goal in the first half, and Ashley Williams squandering 2 6-yard headers either side of half time. Swansea showed the impressive passing style which earned them cup success last season, and it was a good showing, but it was goalless. Next Thursday's second leg in Italy will be a tougher contest altogether.
Elsewhere, Benfica were 1-0 winners at PAOK Salonika thanks to Rodrigo Lima's second-half goal, and AZ Alkmaar won by the same scoreline at Slovan Liberec. Fulham's new manager Felix Magath says the club need to win 6 of their remaining 12 games if they're to avoid relegation. The German, who replaced René Meulensteen last week, gave his first news conference on Thursday. He's been explaining the club's decision to let backroom staff members Ray Wilkins and Alan Kerbishley go.
I was sacked a few times also. Yeah. You see, I know the situation, and I'm sorry for each coach, but I think if you want to change something, you have to do it now. It was latest to change the team, to change the atmosphere, yeah, to have a chance to stay in the league.
And one more football story for you. The Egyptian club Al Ahly have won a record-extending 6th Confederation of African Football Super Cup. They beat CS Sfaxien of Tunisia 3-2 in Cairo. To the Winter Olympics now, and the International Olympic Committee announced on Thursday that many Ukrainian athletes have decided to leave Sochi. And return home because of the trouble in their country. It's understood that all of the competitors who've chosen to return to Ukraine have completed their events at the Games. The Ukraine Olympic Committee President Sergei Bubka has respected their decision, as IOC spokesman Mark Adams explains.
Some of them have decided to return home, and I think there's a. I think Sergei Bubka would say that has said to me that he absolutely respects every individual's right to make their own decision. His view for the team is that it's better for the team to show unity. And to show that an example, a small example, of kind of reconciliation.
In a dramatic contest, Russia won gold in the ladies' Olympic figure skating. Adelina Sotnikova produced a brilliant display to push defending champion Yuna Kim of South Korea into second place. 15-year-old Yulia Liptonskaya, who took gold in the team event earlier in the Games, finished out of the medals. Canada's women's curling team have swept their way to a gold medal with a 6-2 win over Sweden. It gives them a record-breaking 10 wins out of 10 in the competition. More from the BBC's Alex South.
Sweden fought hard and they played well in this final, but the ninth end was the game changer. Canada have won the gold medal. The destiny that seemed to be Jennifer Jones's all her career is finally fulfilled. It's the one she wanted, the one she dreamt about. They have been the best team here. It may not be their best performance, but it's a deserved victory. They rode their luck at times. They made plenty of mistakes, which Sweden didn't capitalise on. But when the door was open, they stepped right through it and won the gold medal.
Well, Dave Zerman is a writer with Sportsnet magazine in Canada. He says that winning the gold medal is a big deal for the country.
Curling is such a big part of our sporting culture here in Canada. You know, it gets massive television ratings, and as they were broadcasting the gold medal match, you know, they're cutting away to curling clubs in small town Canada, in places like the Prairies, and they're just filled to the brink with people who have taken the day off of school or off of work to watch the finals. So it's no small feat, and everyone's really proud of our team. If you're in a small town community or somewhere outside of like a major urban center, you know, curling's going to be front center. You know, it's going to be a big social hub, the curling rink, and you'll see a lot of people get involved from a very young age, no question.
And the success continued for Canada. Their women's team won their fourth consecutive Olympic ice hockey gold medal with a 3-2 overtime win over the United States. The head of Formula One, Bernie Ecclestone, has won a multi-million dollar legal battle against a German media company over his involvement in the sale of his stake in the sport. Mr. Ecclestone was accused of entering into a corrupt agreement with a banker to undervalue Formula One prior to its sale to a buyer of his choice. The BBC Sports News correspondent Dan Rowan was at the High Court in London.
He was being sued by a German media company, Constantin Medien, because they said that he had entered into a corrupt agreement, he'd bribed a German banker, Gerhard Gribkowski, in order to stay in control of the sport when it was sold in 2005, and that they lost out financially as a result because he deliberately undervalued it. The judge, Justice Newey, agreed with them on the first point. He said, in fact, that he found Ecclestone an unreliable witness and that, in fact, he had paid a bribe. But on the second point, he disagreed with them, saying that they hadn't lost out. And it was on those grounds that Ecclestone effectively won. That would be a relief for him, given a criminal trial that he must stand in Germany in April. But once again, the judge's remarks will call into question his leadership of the sport.
Finally, in cricket, South Africa are 214 for 5 at the end of the first day's play in the second test with Australia in Port Elizabeth. Top scorer for the hosts was David Elgar with 83. And that's the latest world sport from the BBC. Freedom.